They want to be together. That's all that they want. That's all that they fought for. But they can't deny that they have these paths in front of them that just don't cross over anymore. And it's bittersweet, but it's also like, this is how it has to be.
Hello and welcome to EW Onset. I'm Shayna Naomi Crockmall.
And I'm Patrick Gomez. This is, of course, a companion piece to the sixth and final season of Schitt's Creek.
We're in the back half now.
Ooh, don't even
say
it.
I'm sorry. We'll be here every Wednesday morning after a new episode airs. Recaps, exclusive Onset interviews with the cast and crew. This week, we're talking about episode 608, which is written by David West Reed and directed by Andrew Civitino.
You'll be hearing from Dan Levy and Noah Reed and Catherine O'Hara and Annie Murphy and Dustin Milligan. It's some good, juicy stuff this week because it was a good, juicy episode.
It was a good heartbreaker of an episode. There's a lot in this. And I think in many ways, like our most emotional episode so far in the season.
We'll get to it in a little bit, but there was a moment that I literally gasped and then instantly started crying. I will reveal which moment that was later. There's a little tease to stay in, but it's not all sad. We get David makes Patrick get a spray tan.
Are you happy now, David? Is this what you wanted?
You look.
I look like a cheese puff.
Okay, you said it, not me.
Not great.
It's not great.
Moira and Johnny have a little romantic getaway at the new motel, as well as like an ethical discussion about whether you can prioritize your own caretaking as part of your business.
Yeah.
I think we can all guess where Johnny stands on that position.
Johnny, wasn't it you who said it was dangerous to treat your assets like personal possessions?
And what, may I ask, are you two doing back here?
Told you we would get caught, Rolly.
And then, of course, we have the Ted and Alexis of it all.
It's really intense. I mean, like, we've seen this, like, long distance Ted and Alexis throughout this season, first because she misses her flight or she misschedules her flight to the Galapagos, then because they ultimately decide that the mix of the terrible living conditions that Ted is suffering under and the sort of, like, new interest and momentum in Alexis's career means it doesn't make sense for her to come. And then things get even realer and harder. And in this episode, we learn that, like, not only have their careers both kind of started to take off, but in ways that mean that this could actually be like a really, really, really lengthy, almost undetermined length, but years long separation. And they decide to end things in a way that's very different than the last time Ted and Alexis broke up.
You can't move back here, Ted. You've just been offered the job of your dreams, and there's no turning back now.
What about you? What are you gonna do?
I can't move to the Galapagos.
I wouldn't let you even if you tried.
It's like the most adult decision you can make.
Absolutely.
Like, it really is. They're both, I mentioned this previously, Gift of the Magi. Like, they are not, he is not willing to let her make a decision that will be to her own detriment.
And I think,
and she's, I think,
possibly
willing
for the first time in
it.
Alexis's life, she thinks that she and her own life and her own ambitions are maybe worth putting first rather than chasing a guy or another guy or a different guy.
Well, I think it's really interesting because Alexis has been willing to throw caution to the wind for a guy in the past. And even though she's willing to do that for him, it's in a completely different and actually mature way that she's willing to do that. It was always like she was doing it because of a guy, but it was really for her.
Mm-hmm. This, because it was fun and adventurous, or it was, you know, the idea of who this guy was.
Yeah, versus this is her choosing to be selfless in kind of going off and doing this, and he won't let her do it because he wants to be selfless and kind of give up their future.
They both really recognize that to make the choice to be together would require each of them to give up something that they have grown to really love and be good at, and or to kind of constantly be second guessing the decisions that they've made. So it's a heartbreaker. And we spoke to Annie Murphy and Dustin Milligan at length about these. And I think we'll let them.
They got emotional. We got emotional.
Everyone got pretty emotional.
So let's take a listen.
Alexis and Ted break up.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, right? Even in that way that it makes sense on some level, it's really, really sad. Can you kind of talk us through shooting that scene and what you thought? How was the table read for it? Where did that kind of start and how did it end up?
Well, the table read was
interesting because Dustin wasn't there. He was just a little tinny voice over the speakerphone. And the scene actually changed quite a bit from the table read to when we actually shot. And when we actually shot, it was a really sad scene. It wasn't our very last scene that we shot together. I think it was our second last scene that we shot together. And the relationship has come to mean so much to both of us as actors. And we've had so much fun acting with each other and playing these characters that it really was a very sentimental scene for us as people and as actors and in character as well. And the cafe looked so beautiful and the crew was all sad. And it was like, it was a really special scene to shoot. And I think the way it was written really serviced the characters in a...
How did it change?
I think the initial script was, it was kind of Alexis heavy. There was a lot of words coming from Alexis. And I think the writers just ended up feeling like it needed to be more of a dialogue between the two of them because they're, you know, mm-hmm. two people going through this moment, not just one. So
we're only halfway through the season, really, at this point. Are you holding out hope that there might be some way of resolving this? Or what do you think is what's going to happen? What would you in your heart want to have happen?
I want Ted to kill the last tortoise accidentally and get fired, but then offered like a lovely job somewhere much more accessible and metropolitan, and then they live happily ever after together. That's my hope.
Well, I know we're rooting for them.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Alexis is rooting for, like, if Ted comes back next episode, is she back full in and would want that to all still happen?
I think so. I really do. I think if Ted, you know, got fired somehow, sweet, precious Ted got fired from his job, I think that that they would end up together. But it's just one of those shitty situations of circumstance where two people who would be great together just can't be. And that happens all the time. And it's sad and hard, but it takes two mature people to kind of come to that decision to part ways and love each other from afar.
You've done two big breakup scenes in
the cafe.
In the cafe. And they're kind of reminiscent of each other. I love that both of them are about acknowledging how much you've changed each other and grown. And she learned a lot from Mutt and she learned a lot from Ted.
Yeah. I actually think that the Mutt breakup scene may be one of the first glimmers of a maturing Alexis that mm-hmm. we see. And then to see how much further she has come with the scene with Ted. That's very interesting, actually. I haven't really thought about that too much. But, they really do kind of highlight the change in her as a woman.
Ted and Alexis break up. What was your... When did you first read that? How did you feel about it?
Whenever the script came out, I don't remember. I mean, Dan and I had this conversation well beforehand, before they'd even written the season. So I knew what was coming. And for me, the idea that I felt very strongly about was this notion that love alone is not enough to sustain a relationship. Mm. We want to believe that. We want to believe that once you are in love, then that's the end all be all. But life gets in the way. Love is easy. Life is hard. And I think that's what this relationship represents in such a wonderful and, again, realistic way. That they want to be together. That's all that they want. That's all that they fought for. But they can't deny that they have these paths in front of them that just don't cross over anymore. And it's bittersweet, but it's also like, yeah, this is how it has to be. And the scene in the cafe reflects that. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. Annie has a beautiful performance in that, as she does with all of our emotional scenes. She's always so, 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 so good. I'm just in awe. Half the time I'm like getting misty-eyed, not because I'm in the scene, but just because I'm so impressed with her. And I just, I can just see her career ahead of this. No, but I.
Do you cry?
Like in the scene?
Or outside of it?
I got emotional, I think, afterwards, because like the characters, there is that sense of like, so that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It, you know, as much as I pride myself on being pretty professional and being able to sort of compartmentalize character from self, ultimately you're using your actual nervous system and your actual emotional availability in order to dive into that. And so there is crossover. It gets messy. And I think, too, again, I love Annie so much. And that's been my partner through this entire show. Like, almost every scene I've done is with her. And yeah, it was something that I got a little misty about after the fact, when I was at home alone watching Degrassi reruns on TV.
Like a good Canadian boy.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we saw this really touching scene with Moira and Alexis, where Moira is kind of discussing Alexis's options. As she says, it's a conundrum, you know, what to do about career versus Ted. And now we've seen how that ultimately is playing out. So we actually spoke to Catherine O'Hara on her and her character's feelings about Alexis and Ted and career and all of it.
We've really seen Alexis and Moira's relationship grow a lot. And yes. I think her progress in finding men that are better for her and then finding that she doesn't even need a man is a big thing for her this season. So talk to us about what you feel like Moira's feelings are about the breakup, basically.
I personally had a hard time with it because I love them together. And that made me sad. To begin with, I think from Moira's point of view, you know, Moira being a little bit selfish, even though she's learned to be a mother. I wouldn't say a better mother. She wasn't even a mother before. Now she's learned to be a mother. You know, she's focused on the upcoming premiere of The Croning, and she's working with her daughter and loving it, and it's giving Alexis something to do and something to look forward to. So, you know, it's both selfish on Moira's part and also thinking of Alexis that, here, focus on this right now because you're going through that, and who knows? You know, you two got together only because you're in this small town. He's a lovely man. If it's meant to be, it'll happen later. You know, you'll be together later. But right now, focus on this because it helps me too. I just love getting to know both our children in this. You know, Moira's and Johnny's children. You know, we had no agenda as parents before. We didn't consider it at all. And now we've learned.
And of course, we had to sit down with showrunner / mastermind Dan Levy to ask him, first of all, how dare you? And secondly, why?
I think their relationship was so great and so important for each of those characters. I think for Ted to be with Alexis, who's so like self-assured and confident and traveled, and, you know, for Alexis to be with Ted, someone who's just, you know, in a way is similar to Patrick in the sense that he just loves her and wants to be with her and has his own business and is, you know, is educated and, you know, cares about animals and all of these things that she's so sort of unfamiliar with. They really were, it was a yin-yang situation with each other. And we felt like for them to go their separate ways, but knowing that they've changed each other for the better, that it wasn't for naught, that this wasn't just a sort of superfluous relationship that we were going to throw away and have Alexis sort of go on to bigger and better things, that she couldn't have ended the series had she not had Ted, was something that we felt like was important for her. And she can now go off into this next chapter of her life clear and focused and knowing what she can have if she wants it, but also knowing what she wants. So we'll see. We'll see what happens to Alexis.
We'll be right back with more EW On Set.
Also,
more about gel coat.
When the fourth round,
don't you call in the...
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here because it's Emmy season on The Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers, every Thursday starting April 4th, as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with the Awardist podcast Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at ew.com/awardist.
Welcome back.
Okay, I can't take how sad this podcast has been up to this point this week. So let's get to a little levity,
right,
please.
We are not in any way disavowing the sadness of that storyline, but this is a comedy.
Yes.
It is a comedy series, and there is also some very funny, funny stuff in this episode, too.
Yes, I want my mouse pad of David and Patrick.
Ray and those mouse pads. I hope they auction off some of those.
Oh, my God.
All of those commemorative mouse pads, mostly of Jocelyn.
Jocelyn in the Undersea, but that's only available during the winter months, which has me question, why?
It's like going on a cruise. It's like something you dream about when it's cold. I don't know,
but
mouse
I have lots of questions
wedding
about Ray's.
Are questionable anyway, and I think if left to his own devices, he would give out mouse pads with Jocelyn on it for their wedding.
Fair.
So that whole engagement photo debacle, David decides to gift Patrick with a spray tan so that he looks a little less pale in the photos, which of course immediately goes terribly awry.
It was giving me such Friends vibes of when David Schwimmer's character Ross goes to get a spray tan and accidentally doesn't turn around.
Yes. All right, here's Noah Reed and Dan Levy talking about the engagement photos.
You mean this?
Yo, some of your pose work in that episode, truly exquisite.
There are times when we're shooting our show where there is freedom to do things that are not necessarily scripted.
Uh-huh.
And I took it upon myself to make sure that that photo shoot was
acrobatic
as humanly possible.
It was like you were doing like full barrel rolls or something.
Yeah, David was trying really hard to get the shot, and in doing so, overcomplicated the whole process.
Really just one of the handful of moments that pokes fun at my whiteness, my very, very white skin. And I'm glad that that character trait was mined for.
I have those images now on my computer for the end of time. I'm going to probably put them somewhere. I'll frame one of them and just put it on my desk just to have. Also, the fact that you look so uncomfortable, and I am really not. I don't care. It's all about me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers to you.
And to you as
good,
well.
Good sport.
That's what I have now dubbed the spray tan episode, because we get Stevie gets a spray tan, Patrick gets a spray tan, Dustin Milligan as Ted comes in all super tan.
Super tan from being in the Galapagos.
Like, it was the spray tan episode.
That's true.
It was beautiful.
Let's talk about the Rose family celebrity name drop of the week.
I love that. In a really touching scene between Alexis and Twyla that was very, very sweet, Alexis mentions,
"Do I leave everything behind and move to some random island to be with the love of my life? I did that with Harry Styles in England. It was, like, too rainy."
There's so much to unpack here that she, like, was dating Harry Styles is one. But
We're talking about a woman who could both date Sean Penn and Harry Styles, which is some extremely dubious dating math.
I love that. But the fact that, like, the island she's trying to compare the Galapagos to is England. And it was just too rainy. It was too rainy. Can't do it. That was my favorite name drop. What about yours?
Okay, mine also in the middle of a pretty serious moment between Ted and Alexis. It's when they're sort of first, they're in bed together at the motel. He's talking about why they can't go back to his place.
I just thought that it was important that we have this conversation in person.
You're starting to sound like me trying to end things with B-Rock on the Backstreet Boys Millennium Tour.
First of all, like, of all of the Backstreet Boys, I really just would not have guessed Brian was the one she would have dated. He was, like, the most conservative, deeply Christian.
I'm getting this, like, sense of Backstreet fandom from you right now,
and I love it. If I were going to make a ranked list of which Backstreet Boy Alexis would date, he would be fifth out of five.
So who would be number one?
Okay, number one is obviously AJ.
Okay, good. I was hoping
he's
that was what you were going
to
say.
The bad boy. He has to be that one. And then probably Kevin, because he would seem sort of like dubiously responsible, but also maybe like in charge somehow, because he was the oldest.
Carly is like processing this.
Yeah,
she is like thinking about it.
Then I guess I would say Nick, just for like of the Harry Styles of it all. And then Howie, although I really can't imagine her with Howie. And then Brian. But like Brian is definitely the fifth most likely Backstreet Boy to have actually dated Alexis long enough that they would have to break up. Unless this was like a weird Alexis phase where she went to like church camp. That's the only answer I have.
I mean, I totally could see that being the case. Carly agrees.
And also, I love that while lying in bed with Ted, she refers to him as B-Rock.
All right. So we are now going on to our favorite Moira Rose dialogue of the episode. Why don't you kick us off there?
Okay. My favorite Moira line. We didn't talk too much about this whole storyline about the motel, but my favorite Moira line comes from, you know, this stay that they take in the presidential suite. Moira screaming at the sink in their motel room because the water is freezing cold. And she's clearly trying to, you know, angle for an upgrade to this better room. She says,
"And what about the kids? We're just going to abandon them here?
They're practically middle-aged."
And B, and I think she is totally right about this.
"Oh, it's my hands, John. It's the water. It's freezing cold."
"Well, then move your hands."
"How will I know if it's getting warmer if I'm not touching it?"
Of course,
because what he says is so common sense, but then what she replies is also so common sense.
Yes, and then she just takes it to the next level.
"Excuse me, while I try to pass through." "Oh, John, these door frames! It's like trying to force oneself through the eye of a needle."
I don't think she's been particularly quiet about what she thinks about the living conditions at the Rosebud Motel, but there are some extras she's been saving up.
Yes, most definitely. Mine is from that similar argument, but earlier in the episode where Johnny is trying to be like, "Look, I just told Roland and Jocelyn that they can't do this. We can't do it either." And she responds,
"Be careful, John, lest you suffer vertigo from the dizzying heights of your moral ground."
And I just loved it because normally when she does a Moiraism, it's kind of her describing a situation of this. But this is like a very...
It's a burn.
It's a burn and like an educated, like, well thought out burn.
Yeah. Okay, funniest moment. Moment that made you laugh the most.
I mean, I've got to go back to Moira in that doorway. We don't get a lot of physical comedy from Catherine O'Hara on this show. Just having her do that, I could watch that over and over again. How about for you?
All of Patrick's reactions to the spray tan.
Where did his eyebrows go?
"Just have fun with it."
"Yes, have fun."
"Okay, Patrick, I'm going to have to ask you to smile a little more."
"I think this is probably as good as it's going to get right now, right?"
"Okay, okay, okay."
I will say this is both my funniest and because I just feel like I have to set the Ted and Alexis of it all. Like, they're overqualified for what is the most, like, heart-wrenching or crying moment. Like, we cried. So I'm not even going to count them in this category, but I would say both to me the funniest and the most, like, cry-worthy moment is kind of Patrick's reaction to this whole spray tan situation, because he's very funny. Like, he has moments. He has very funny lines. But there's also, like, a real, like, kind of genuine hurt in there.
It's the, like, most, like, angry I think we've seen his character.
Yeah, and he's restrained about it, but you can tell that almost in some ways, like, this whole thing has been more important to him than David. And so much of his wedding planning, it's like David's really driving the bus. David's the one who has all these ideas about what this perfect wedding will be. And Patrick's kind of like, sure. But then he's actually upset.
"Cool. So I guess my relatives will just have to imagine what the person I'm marrying looks like and how happy I am to be with them."
Okay.
It's a little heartbreaking. I was glad they were able to kind of like work through it and figure it out, because it actually, of moments on the show, was one of those moments where you're like, David's kind of being a little bit of a dick. And
I'm also
Patrick,
like, how busy are you? Can't you just decide to do it another day then? Ray can't be that busy.
I mean, maybe he is.
Maybe he was hard booked for months.
Maybe he is, yeah.
Well, like you said, I think I kind of don't even count the Ted and Alexis like scene, that final scene, as something I can even clearly that is the moment that is just heart-wrenching. I have to say thank you. I'm assuming because, like we've said, he's the mastermind of it all, that this was a very big Dan decision, but choosing to end it, I shazammed it the minute it started playing, but dedicated to the one I love by the Mamas and the Papas.
Is that the version? It was the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah.
So beautiful. It was like somehow both like wistful and haunting.
Yes. But that aside, the moment that I know everyone's been waiting for, that I've teased earlier in the episode, is the moment that made me gasp and instantly start crying, was actually the flashback of Ted and Alexis. Thank you, Carly, for nodding along. Like, I literally was just like, and it was just like an instant flood of emotions because the writing was on the wall of what was about to happen.
But they've been through so much.
They've been through so much. And just like to see them, it like gutted me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was going to say one of my other kind of funny lines is like, even in that last scene where they're sitting at the cafe and it's like they're trying to kind of find some levity in it.
Just think of all those gross little flies that are still out there for you to discover.
Actually, those flies are an invaluable piece of the puzzle in the study of evolution, but yes, we do have our fingers crossed that there are still a few more out there.
Oh, we're back to being sad. This was a sad episode.
It was a sad episode.
It's okay to be in our sad feelings. But you know what?
And I want a mouse pad of that final image of Ted and Alexis with her, and the dress is draped onto the stairs I mean, it was a beautiful shot with that beautiful Mamas and the Papas song. So let's just end that it was a beautiful ending while very sad. I did not love this journey for us.
You did not love this journey, but we got through it. Thank you to all for listening, continuing to listen, continuing to subscribe to this podcast and rate and like it.
And comment.
And comment. You can find me at Shana Naomi.
And I'm at Patrick Gomez, LA. Let us know your thoughts about the season. Let us know your thoughts about the podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. This is EW Onset.